Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to President, Patriot or Puppet. You know, I'm going to make a small attempt, but an attempt nonetheless, to save America and Americans with this radio program. Of course, some say, well, that's a small attempt. Well, I'm off my ass and on my feet. Okay, I'm out here in the heat. So please be very responsible when listening to what I, as well as others, have to say on this program. Freedom should not be taken for granted. We did that for too long, and look at where it's gotten us. We have a big government-loving, freedom-thrashing, progressive left who will stop at nothing until you and me, the peasants or serfs of the world, are dependent on government forever. On the right, we have far too many spineless elected officials who will cave on a whim in order to go along to get along. Yes, rhinos must go, should be the signs placed right next to the loon lefties who certainly must go along with them. The problem with that is the caving to the left not only compromises our freedom, it directly attacks it. If this is not okay with you, then you must be ready and willing to take a stand in order to fight against the well-funded progressive left machine. Never allow the system to enslave you. Understanding pugilism from the cradle to grave is vital. Pugilism was a set of legal and military customs in medieval Europe that flourished between the 9th and the 15th century, which broadly defined was a system for structuring society around relationships derived from the holding of land in exchange for service or labor. Pugilism included terms such as the fief and vassals. The fief was a tangible good given in exchange for loyalty during the feudal period in Europe. Other parts of the world also used feudal systems, although the terminology was different. Fiefs traditionally took the form of plots of land, but the rights to the manorial rents of those properties, a noble title or even an office, might also be considered to be fiefs as well. I can apply that to, say, Blagojevich, who sold a job in government. Hey, that's pretty good. Okay, a fief could be granted by an overlord or suzerain to a vassal. And as long as the vassal loyalty served his lord, he would retain the fief. The system of feudalism in Europe was a political, social, and economic system which concentrated power in the hands of nobility. The feudal system started with the monarch, who could grant lands to individuals loyal to him. These individuals, in turn, could seek out vassals and distribute parts of their estate to these vassals. With the land came the rights to the work of the peasants who lived on it. Most peasants had difficult lives producing food for themselves, let alone the manor, and living in very poor conditions. In other cases, a member of the nobility might bestow a title or the rights to the rents on the individuals who demonstrated loyalty. Feudalism, as we grapple to understand its history and its current impact on our daily life, can best be described as a political and economic system that reigned supreme throughout Europe from the 9th and the 15th century. Now, pugilism was identified as far back as the Chinese dynasty, dating back as far as 1122 BC to 256 BC. Under the rule of pugilism, the super elite, the king and his royal family, partitioned and leased valuable regions of the kingdom's land and selected aristocrats or nobles who were obliged as legal conditions of the lease to pay a yearly tribute. Oh, let's call it the tax to the king for his generosity. In addition to their yearly tax, aristocrats were required to provide unconditional military allegiance or support, if you will, to the king during and after campaigns that were exclusively directed and orchestrated by none other than the king, the land that was controlled by the aristocrats, was worked by the kingdom's poor peasants, who were known as serfs. In return for their servitude to the king and the aristocrats he appointed, serfs were allowed to keep a small portion of what the land yielded in the manner of wild game and crops. So generous. It was the responsibility of the aristocrats to assemble able-bodied serfs for military service when the kingdom was under direct threat from the king's enemies. Sanctioned by the king, his appointed religion gave the poor and uneducated peasants hope that their reward for the lifelong loyalty, obedience, would come in the life hereafter. An ambiguous promise, to say the least, promulgated by the high-ranking king-appointed clergy. This is unmistakably similar to the Muslim faith today. There is no questioning that the young, impressionable Muslims can be told to go blow themselves up and others around them, and that when they go to heaven, they will get 72 virgins and such as that. The young Muslim is taught that to defy the order of the holy man was to defy God, and that would mean eternal damnation. So it was to be from cradle to grave that the king and his selected aristocrats, under the rule of pugilism, was destined to become unfathomably richer in life, managing the kingdom's assets while the poor and under-educated peasants were to remain dutifully poor. Being poor is one way to keep control over the serfs, but dumbing them down with a poor education is the final straw, added to the small things that the serfs are getting free from their tainted king, to the fact that their education is shrinking every year, will keep the king in office forever. It's not a secret across the United States, employers are finding less and less qualified college students who enter the job arena that are graduates from public schools. With an emphasis placed on hiring college graduates who are supposed to possess excellent reading and writing skills and who are supposed to be equally proficient in advanced math and science curriculum, it's abundantly clear that currently the best candidates for competitive 21st century industries and careers are students who receive their secondary education from charter schools and private schools. So where does that leave the young student whose parents cannot afford to send them to private school? Well, the educated say that this provides for a more expanded democratic voting base, and it condemns the him or her to that of being a lifelong minimum wage earner. No matter how far down, they reduce the requirements for the military if a high school graduate does not possess the rudimentary skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic. They won't even qualify to join the military. Wall Street bankers with a golden parachute, unscrupulous traders, owners of insurance and pharmaceutical dynasties, corporate raiders, politicians with inside trading knowledge, and a small percentage of graduates from America's elite universities are laughing all the way to the bank as they have evolved into being America's novius kings and noblemen. Now, laughing so much is the incredible shrinking middle class. They are not laughing. And the irrelevant poor who will stay poor, because that is the training they have received. They allowed the system to enslave them. These two shrinking tiers of American society are little less than modern-day serfs who are indebted from cradle to grave, and as it stands, will only reap reward of being obedient and faithful when receiving their government handouts that have been renamed, yep, entitlements. Now, I want to bring on my friend Mike, who is the co-host here, and say, Mike, is history repeating itself?
Well, Obama's trying to make it repeat itself. You take out the word king, put in Obama, take out serf, put in Obama supporters, held there by their entitlements. The dumbing down of the school system, it's really a German indoctrination system at this point in time. He's buying votes, lying. It's incredible that people actually believe what he says, because it reflects nothing at all what he does. And we have a system now where they're buying through entitlement programs the stupid voter, the low information, the dumb voter. I don't care what word you use. They don't know what's going on. And ignorance is not an acceptable word. You prefer to be ignorant. You make that decision. But to be stupid, I think that's something beyond help. And we got these people that listen to them. We have 21 embassies shut down now because of static they heard. Obama shows what a coward he is by not addressing the American people. He goes on Jay Leno and then makes the stupidest comments. He doesn't know what ports are along the Gulf. He comments on that. He comments on the Russians hosting the Olympics, and he says, well, it refers to all Summer Olympics. They're hosting the Winter Olympics. The guy is an idiot, but the people are so stupid and are so taken by the fact they're giving them food stamps. They're giving them access cards, that they'll vote for him no matter what he does. You know, we are seen through the world now as a cowardly nation. They think Al-Qaeda and their idiot contingency groups are going to attack our embassies. This is where we need somebody like Putin. And I never thought I'd say that, but Putin makes Obama quake in his shoes. You can tell just by the picture of those two together.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Obama doesn't want to meet with Putin in Russia because gay rights. What, is he an idiot? We have serious things to talk about. Well, you know, I know a month ago that was going to be canceled. He hasn't got the nerve to go through with that. But instead of going out fortifying and saying, yeah, go ahead, come on and attack us. We have a Marine contingency sitting there at each one of these bases waiting for you. Come get us. Now we got to go hide under the table. We got to be a bunch of cowards.
Exactly.
I go on and on, but that's the basis.
Yeah. You know, the fact that he calls all of the logistics out there phony. You know, the definition of phony is a fake object or a person. How fake are those dead people in Benghazi? You know, how fake is the is the IRS taking the Fifth Amendment to keep them from incriminating themselves. You know, how fake are all of the things that are going on out there? In each one of the interviews that I see, these far-left loons that they pick, and I don't know why they feel they must be fair and balanced. This is wasting time. They'll put an idiot up there, and they'll say, okay, it is phony. Right, tell me what the scandal is. Tell me what the scandal is. You know, I wish just for an instant I could be there to say, look the word up in the dictionary, and it's phony and fake, a person, object, blah, blah, blah. Is Benghazi a fake? Is it a phony? Did those people die over there or not die? You know, I'm really, really sick at how we seem to just breeze over and try to be politically correct and let lunatics have their say. Just pisses me off.
Yeah, political correctness, that's another form of stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
You got these, the people that came out with George Zimmerman and just punk druggie Trayvon Martin that got killed because he attacked the wrong person. Sharpton comes out, Obama comes out, could have been my son. Holder comes out. A couple days ago in Florida, we got three black druggies beating up a white kid on a school bus.
Yeah.
Haven't heard a thing.
Yeah, and look at the driver. Look at the driver, a grown black, who says, I can't do anything back there. They're beating on some white kid. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's black. He can't do anything. If there were white, I bet he would come up there and do whatever he could. You know, he's got a weapon with him. Everybody has to in a school bus.
Yeah.
But he lets them go, and you don't hear anybody saying anything. News media,
yeah.
Nothing.
Exactly.
Going back to Benghazi, you got these people that are being transferred, moved around every month or so, given lie detector tests to make sure they didn't say anything about Benghazi, about what really happened, about exposing the gun running operation down there.
Yeah, that was incredible. Yeah, don't y'all go out and say anything about this. Mr. Bomber in chief has got to get away with his lies. We don't have we have workplace violence. We don't have terrorists over here. That's making me sick that we paid this guy over $300,000 and he's up there apologizing to his Muslim cohorts over in the land and saying the things that he's saying. Are you paying any attention to that scam that's going on, trying to make this workplace violence thing that Hassan, whatever his name is?
That's Major Hassan. That's incredible. Yeah. This is a guy that said, I am the shooter. I killed these people. Clinton passed a law where these guys couldn't have weapons in that area of the base. It took a civilian girl to come in and shoot this guy with a 9mm. He fired back. She was down. He's getting ready to shoot her in the head, and another civilian comes in with a gun and unfortunately didn't kill this guy. And now we've got to listen to all his rants.
Yeah.
And we got to call workplace violence. Obama is just, he's the biggest loser, liar, miscreant, phony president we have ever had. You add up Carter and Clinton, he's 10 times worse than they are. And Carter is, you know, he's a Hezbollah lover, him.
Yeah, I think that even as bad as Carter was, I think he just got elevated a notch because of the liar-in-chief that we have now. There is no question that this is going to turn out to be, history's going to prove it, that this is the biggest scam that has ever happened to the American people. Now, unfortunately, because we are so infused with so many low-informed, are letting it happen. This is what's so uncharacteristic about Americans. You know, it's just, we don't let that kind of thing take place. And somehow we just turn the other cheek because he's a black man. And I don't get it. And it's not freedom.
That's like Jay-Z came out and said, well, he's our first black president. We have to do everything he says. This is a guy, along with Beyonce, that traveled to Cuba, where nobody's allowed to travel, But Obama, after taking them through the Situation Room, which somebody had to show Obama where it was, lets them go to Cuba, lets them come home, and then you got all these people, Jay-Z and all the black act, theoretical performers saying, well, I'm not going to Florida until they get rid of the stand their ground. Really?
Right.
Come in
right.
my
Good.
House.
Stay out of here, yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't know you were still entertaining in the first place.
Right.
But that,
right.
that's what we have to deal with.
You know, what is it that I read something yesterday, and it was about Jesse Jackson's group, who just hired a person who got 15 counts against him, federal lying and corrupt, taking kickbacks and bribes and stuff from the Clinton years, and he just hired them. As a matter of fact, he was jailed one time for a child abusing a child sexually, and he is the youth coordinator for Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, there's a good choice.
Yeah.
It's like the professor at Millikan University.
Yeah.
Millikan hired this guy. He killed his family. And he and went to jail and came out, and now he's hired by Millikan, and they're interviewing some of his students, and they just showed this one obviously liberal female idiot, and she said, well, he did his time, he's got a lot to teach. He's got to teach, but tell you to murder your family? Is that what he's got to teach? And that's what we're getting for professors.
Yeah. You know, I turned back the clock in a conversation I had on the radio program, and talking about a young guy that was with his mom, and his mom was in a treatment, and I was speaking with him outside the treatment room in my office, and he was showing me what a potential eighth grader was being taught, and his entire rot was that professors, no matter what they have been accused of or been convicted of, still have a brilliant message to pass on to their teachings to students. Now, it went on crashing down from there, believe it or not, with all kinds of the conjectures of what is taking place and how, you know, how they're taught to look over this. Things like the phony scandals are going to work with these kinds of folks. You know, there is no question that there is going to be a terrible, terrible injustice befalling all of those kids about the eighth grade and up coming on, who are going to be thinking as absolutely pathetic as what this young kid is thinking. It's incredible. There is no,
typical.
Yeah. There's no question that there is certainly going to be hell to pay, even more so than what we're paying right today. And people who, you know, have that hand out and looking for those entitlements don't realize they're enslaving themselves to, we'll go back to the king theory, but what do you think these politicians are? They bend over and take it for everybody to keep their jobs and to move forward and to get along, to go along. We've got to end that. We've got to start in 2014 cleaning house. And I mean from the rhinos to the far left loons as well.
Oh, we've got to get rid of all the rhinos. These
yeah.
people are up there saying we really do need a new illegal immigration bill. No, we don't. Shelf that. Use the laws we have. Enforce them. We don't need a new immigration bill at all. We have immigration bills on the books. It's like Obama with his Obamacare. Well, I'm going to exempt Congress. They don't have to do it. They got the temporary head of the IRS coming out saying that I want to keep my standing Werfel.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling the House Ways and Means Committee that I'll pass on Obamacare. I'm going to keep my my insurance. This is the IRS that's going to oversee it.
Sure.
And they're
look at what he said to Congress. He went down to the bully pulpit and told Congress,
oh.
Okay, all of y'all are immune to the Obamacare. You have whatever you want. We're just making laws for the serfs out there.
Right. Yeah. You guys don't have to follow it.
Right.
Yeah. The unions are getting upset. The unions helped put this idiot in office, and now they're getting upset because, oh, God, it's going to cost us money to go for Obamacare. Really? You didn't realize that you can't read? You know, it's more of this Rachel, this girlfriend for Martin, the little druggy kid. She's a product of the school system that we're talking about. She can't read. She can't write. She's 19. She can't talk. She's got a black attitude when being questioned. You know, that's part of the big problem. Obama is causing racism to be back to the way it was in the 60s.
Sure.
It's causing
people
in the middle class to be poor. And the gap between the wealthy, whatever they call it now, and the middle class is widening. That's not because the wealthy are getting wealthier. It's because the middle class is getting poorer.
Exactly. There is no middle class, you know. There's just not going to be something in the area of you know, meeting halfway or something. I mean, look at, if you cannot see that to be able to control a complete society, you have to be able to throw them the little this and the little that and say, listen, this is what we're going to give to you. You just vote for us, etc. I would venture to say that if you went back in just a little bit of history and realized what was it, Clyde Plevin, I believe is the name, the way you pronounce that, who actually Cloward Plevin, I think. Anyway, you could actually read that and realize what this community organizer is all about. He is actually that. He is applying that strategy to everyday life. He's got zero history, and everything that he's doing, now you know he has to have a financial backer. Well, of course everybody knows that's George Soros. You can certainly look at, from his community organizing days forward, he has been being, brought up to be what he is today. He didn't have the money to pay for all of those expensive universities. He never had a job. I mean, think about what a community organizer is. And that's what he's doing best right now, which is running around campaigning. He is the campaigner in chief. He's never been somewhere and testified that, yes, I know all about this or that. Everything is got to be swept under the rug with phony. And he knows he can get away with it. Because why? Look at the people that the far left has been able to produce by dumbing down those schools for the past 100 years. We are looking at what's now faced with what the reality was that they were trying to get, which is total control.
Well, Obama is in the same class as Sharpton and Jackson. That's all they do. And there is no such thing as black-on-white crime. That obviously doesn't exist. But white-on-black, they go to town.
Absolutely.
You don't see them coming out protecting that poor little 13-year-old kid in Florida that got beat by the three black druggies. And all he did was say, I'm not buying your drugs. And that black bus driver sitting there. And, you know, it's a black-and-white world anymore, and it's unfortunate, but call it what it is.
Exactly. You call a spade, and that's the way you move forward.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is going to be trying to tell you you're racist or you're this, that, and the other, you know, I would smack them. I don't care what you want to call me. You know,
I'm tired of hearing that. No matter what you do, if you don't agree with Obama, you're racist. Well,
exactly. Okay,
he's black or he's white if he wants to be white. I don't care if he's pink. I don't like him. I don't like what he does.
Well, wrong is wrong. It's kind of like we're going back to the illegal alien thing. Listen, what about the word illegal? Don't you understand? Okay, it's illegal. You are not going to spit in the face of all of the people who want to come over here legally and to make a life for themselves and do something that is fading from us, which is create the American dream, to simply open the borders and say, well, no, they've been over here a long time now. Let's go ahead and give them a pathway to citizenship. I'm sick to death of it. Sick to death.
Yeah, go on.
And we have these rhinos standing up with the Rubios of the world trying to act like that this is a good thing, and they can explain all the way around the corners and up and down hills. And if you don't agree with them, then you're a complete racist. You're you're trying to be a person who's not in favor of America. You know, they come up with all of the broad strikes to try to change the subject.
Well, and that's all they're trying to do. It's amazing because they said, well, you can't be against immigrants. Immigrants built the country. Nobody said we're against immigrants.
No,
we're against illegal immigrants.
Thank you.
Get your words right.
Exactly.
But that's what they revert to right away. Like you say, they change the argument. They can't defend.
No.
So they have to go to another argument and say, well, you're against immigrants. Well, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm an immigrant.
Sure. Everybody here is an immigrant. Come on. You know,
that's why we're here. But we did it legally.
Exactly. And there is the pathway, if you want, to citizenship. And we have the laws that you can follow, just like everybody else. We're not going to spit in the face of those people who are standing in line and following the laws. That would be spitting in their face. Why didn't you come across illegally where you could get your citizenship handed to you instead of doing it the right way, the legal way? That is so stupid. That's the stupidest thing in the world.
Well, we got to bring these illegals out of the shadows. Well, first of all, they're not in the shadows. Go to a La Raza speech benefit, whatever they call them. They're all illegal immigrants. You can round them up and ship them back. People say, well, we can't ship back 11 million, more like 30. Well, they got here. They can go home.
You know what?
We ship somebody home.
I can completely concur, and here's what I say every stinking time. All we have to do is enforce the law. That means, Mr. Employer, if you are caught working and illegal, you will not only pay a fine, you will pay for the deportation and of any family members. Now, if you live next door to somebody and you know that they're working illegals, you also will pay the fine and help to deport them. Okay, how about that? You just swept them out on their own accord. It didn't cost us a dime. We just enforced the laws.
Yeah, don't
Not
give them a
dime.
Job. Yeah. Very easy.
Simply go to the employer that says, oh, well, I didn't know they were illegal. Okay, pay this and deport them anyway. And if somebody is sitting on the information knowing that somebody is working illegals and they are somehow found out, they're also guilty. So this would eliminate the problem. There is no such thing as this has cost us too much to get rid of the 11 million, and then which actually equals to 30 because all of their family members, and you know, it's incredible.
Oh yeah, it's asinine. All you got to do is point them south. You got here, go home.
Yeah. What are they going to do? Sleep under the bridge if they don't have a job? They come in over here for one reason. Okay, they're not coming over. As a matter of fact, they're coming over not for the jobs. They're coming over because of welfare. You know,
right.
They've sunk California in illegals. You know, I emailed you something that pointed out all of the illegal what I call the illegal residue that is existing in California that actually helped bring it to their knees. They're like $125 billion in the red, and it started showing what was taking place. They were like a vacuum sucking the illegals in over there and teaching them how to ride the dole, so to speak.
Well, Obama's doing that already. He's telling them how to, down there in Mexico, they've got commercials saying This is how you get on welfare. This is how you get on food stamps.
Yeah.
People in California are moving out because California has been destroyed by the people that are moving out, and they're moving in Arizona and Texas trying to destroy those states as well. It's
right.
a creeping virus that's going to affect the United States.
Yeah.
We need a president, not somebody that goes on Jay Leno instead of making an address to the nation, not somebody that runs because we have a threat on our embassies. Are you kidding me? It's like somebody threatening my house and me leaving, saying, well, go ahead, I'll be back in September. Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, that little conversation that was caught by somebody with Obama's speaking with Putin, well, everything
yeah.
is going to be better. It'll be easier after the election. You know, I heard that before the election, and I heard it again many times after. And the light bulb that comes on there is there is such a creeping box of horrors that if ever revealed, and of course somehow it's going to be, there are going to be some really lightning fast folks in the media, like I forget the two guys that uncovered Nixon, but there are going to be some folks like that who are going to put together all the pieces of the puzzle, and this is going to be a scam out of this world. It's not going to be the very few things they get on television that's going to be the horror. It's going to be the things that you don't know you don't know.
Well, the information's out there. We just have to have people that will not avoid the truth. Again,
exactly.
Going back to Obama speaking on Jay Leno's show. He's an idiot. He can't speak without a teleprompter with little words. You put him out there by himself, he's hemming and hawing. He gets his facts wrong. Like, we got 57 states in the United States.
Yeah.
The boy is clueless.
Yeah.
And he is a boy. He is clueless. We have elected
exactly.
an idiot.
Exactly. Well, we've elected a puppet. The puppet masters in the background that you don't know of are the ones putting the messages out there for him to read. And look at the Muslim woman that actually runs the White House. I mean,
yeah, Valerie Jarrett.
Yeah. Look at that. How do we rightfully cover up the fact that this president is a Muslim? There's too much information. I had collected the names of the Muslims that he has hired in his little regime. There's like 150 of them. It's incredible. And for him to abolish the Christian day of prayer, whatever it is called there in the White House, but yet he gets down on his knees and does the Ramadan or whatever the Muslim thing is, and yet we're going to be saying, well, no, he was in Reverend Jeremiah Wright's church, so therefore he's a Christian. Reverend Jeremiah Wright.
Well, we can't call Jeremiah Wright a Christian.
Yeah. That's incredible.
There's another boy that hates America.
Absolutely.
And they aren't men. These are boys. These are cowards. These hide behind what the liberal media lets them get away with. And that's why they feel empowered. They can do anything. Just like our enemies feel empowered. We can attack the U.S. embassies. Look, they didn't do anything in Benghazi. We can hit them all whenever we want.
Yes, we just crawled under the bed. We've just crawled under the bed with 20 embassies because we can't afford for another Benghazi to happen. They may find out something. So let's just run away for a little bit until it all calms down over there. It's workplace violence. It's not terrorism.
Well, and then now if nothing happens to any of these embassies, Obama's going to come out and say, I did the right thing. Nothing happened. See, nothing happened because we closed our embassies.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's an idiot. People are stupid enough to believe him.
They're buying into that crap. That's the whole problem here. They're buying into the bullshit, and it is getting worse. It's not getting better. People are so, I don't know if there's a better word than this, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're making themselves irrelevant. There is no such thing as an American who is fails to take action when action is required. That is not an American. That is a make-believe, and we have make-believes out there, and they're being trained that. That little eighth grader I was talking about is being trained to be irrelevant.
And accepting it.
Exactly. Which is the whole point.
Well, you got the news media out there covering up everything that this guy says. New York comes out and says, oh, yeah, Obamacare has dropped our cost. But they don't even talk about other states, Indiana, Ohio, Georgia, Florida. Their health insurance costs are going up due to Obamacare. They won't report that.
Exactly.
So they make people think everything's rosy. Obamacare is a disaster. And now instead of discussing Obamacare, Obama's going to say, well, the Republicans want to shut down the government.
Exactly.
Well, it's like sending you on vacation. You're on vacation. At least you can't do anything to hurt us.
Yeah.
So we need to just put this guy on a permanent vacation.
Yeah.
Send him down with
the
his
unfortunate
boyfriend
thing, the unfortunate thing is we don't want to do it too early. And we talked about that on the last show. If we do not get control of the Senate, it will be worthless to bring impeachment up for him right now, because it'll be refused by the Senate. Period.
Oh, they won't, just like they do right now. And you got Republicans that'll jump on and say, "Oh, you can't impeach Obama." Well, yeah, we can. We impeach people for being stupid and hurting the country and violating the Constitution. That's impeachable right there.
Exactly.
Boy, he hates the Constitution.
That is an unquestionable fact. Yeah.
And the fact that when he was campaigning, he says, I'll go anywhere. I'll talk to North Korea, to Iran, anybody, with no preconditions. Now he can't talk to Putin. I mean, everything he said is a lie.
Yeah. And provable lies. You know, you can prove that he is lying. And it doesn't matter. He can just say, just like Hillary Clinton, what difference does it make? You know, it only he just says something like phony or whatever. And you see the smiles in the background when he says that kind of stuff. White women back there smiling. Yes, that's right. It's all phony. That's what makes me want to puke. There's been such an illiterate left that sometimes you have people who say, well, I'm not either way, and then all of a sudden they're always voting to a very, very staunch liberal party, and that's what's taking place right now. We've got a bunch of people who will talk for an hour. I went to a gathering of adult folks now, supposed to be business people, and the subject waned over into that. And you should have heard the adoration they had for our black president. That's what they were calling him. It's our black president. And they went from one little subtopic to another subtopic. And if you don't think that they saw me as the demon when I pointed out a few facts to them, oh, it was terrible. But it's a lesson to me that says, look, this is what we're faced with. We're faced with that kind of ignorance, and we're, you know, it's going to take action. Now, what I said in the beginning of this show, my ass is off of the seat and out in the heat. I'm trying to do my part, and so are you. We've got to do our part and a lot more. And, you know, what else is there to say? You have to have some kind of action to go up against this, what I call the bully pulpit of ignorance.
Well, people that are working and actually making a living don't have time to get out there like the Occupy Wall Street people do and set up their tents and do nothing. And every time this boy gives a speech, he's got little kids behind him. He's got other people behind him clapping. He's got the military behind him that's got to hate that. Everything's a prop. When he campaigned in 2007, go to a huge stadium, there'll be hundreds of thousands of people, whatever the number was.
Yeah.
When he campaigned for 2012, man, they could fit his crowd into a bar. They all drop. But you got these people that are liberals that won't accept the fact they made a mistake or admit to it.
Exactly.
They haven't got the nerve to say, yeah, maybe we did do something wrong here.
That is so obviously correct. There isn't going to be a time when we can't recognize the truth and then someone else come out with something that says, oh, and by the way, that's a non-truth, because here's the truth, something that comes out of their mouth. I get so upset with those folks that they choose to come out and speak against something, like that gentleman that used to be with Sean Hannity, and then they had to split up. I think it was because of popular opinion of wanting Sean Hannity to be without this other person. But he is some kind of a Fox News contributor with a huge straight line grin that goes from ear to ear. And he's the one that wanted to know when someone says, you know, why is Obama using the word phony with all of the scandals that are going on? Well, what is the scandal? What's the scandal? And he kept saying that, and they would not come back and take his throat out with the facts. It's just incredible.
Oh, that's frustrating as can be.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tridell telling that to the parents of the kids that were killed in Benghazi.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there'll be more and more of that going on. Try telling that to the parents of that old 13-year-old kid who was beat up by the three black druggies in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that just...
But you won't see
really
it.
Incredible. And that is from the kitchen table. Now, of course, those kids needed to be their heads chopped off by jumping on that one young kid. But
oh, God, yes.
Where did it come from? It came from around the dinner table, or the lack of the dinner table. And every word out of the single-parent household is telling their children that we white crackers need to be thrown in the trash. You know, I don't know the words, but I'm sure it has something to do with that. Instead of helping them to reach up for the stars, they keep them in the sewer with all of that rhetoric. And each one of those kids come out with that predetermined chip on their shoulder. And by the way, white people hate to have my ass showing, so my pants are going to get even lower. Those are the kinds of tactics that are out there. It's a sad thing, but it is the truth. I'm talking, the truth is the truth.
Now, these are all punks.
They're making themselves even more punkier, but they come from that atmosphere. They're raised by their mother. There's normally no father around, and even if he's around, he's just gotten out of prison, or he's not a helpful portion of society. He's not out there trying to make a living and to expand on that living and to achieve more and more, which is what's supposed to be here in the American dream thing that used to be here. And that is achieved because it's so wonderful to feel that achievement. You've worked your ass hard, therefore you gain this. You fail a bunch of times, but failure doesn't turn the faucet off. You find ways to improve yourself and to improve on what it is you're trying to do in life. How else can you get a better satisfaction? There is no such thing. And so as far as I'm concerned, all of those kids are being robbed of that wonderful feeling. They're never going to feel it. They're going to wind up in some jail somewhere or prison, and they're not going to be able to feel that American exceptionalism. And believe me, the shining city on the hill is coming back. We're not going to put up with this crap forever.
Well, it's amazing they complain that, well, there's a higher percentage with respect to population of blacks in prisons than whites. Well, why do you think? They're breaking the law. If they get caught, they get thrown in jail. Look at all these thugs, gangs.
Right.
That would jump one white person and say, this is for Trayvon. These are groups. They're cowards.
Mm-hmm.
Need four or five people to jump one person.
Exactly.
If the three kids on a school bus that had to jump a younger
mm-hmm.
kid, it took three of
sure.
them.
Mm-hmm. And think about it. All of the prisons, now think about this, 78% of all of the prisons are full of blacks. Now, that's only 15% of the population, but 78% of the population of the prisons. Now, somebody like Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton would say because they are in there because of racism, because that's how they make their living, exploiting blacks. Every time you hear one of them speak, they're going to be racing to an instant like the Trayvon Martin, and they're going to be coming down and oh, by the way, yes, contribute to Mr. Al Sharpton because he's the one that's keeping it on the front page. Okay, what happened here? We had a trial and should not have had a trial in the beginning, but it was forced on the legal system. And by the way, when they did have the trial, he was found innocent. But that's not good enough. Uh-uh. He should have been slain because that was a black child who was,
yeah.
by the way, a head and a half taller than Zimmerman, who Zimmerman had to portray because he was portrayed that way in the media as a white person who is a Hispanic, you see? So everything, all the little pieces they put together the way they want to, they critique something that's said, the lamestream media does, and they put parts on there to make it sound a different way. It's incredible. We have a complete scam out there for news media, and we have these race baiters who make a living out of exploiting blacks, and they need to be put in their place. Just simply have to be put in their place. They're not going to get away with that kind of thing with somebody who has the strength and the balls to go up there and say, listen, this is it, this is over. And listen, by the way, you want to scream about you hate America over there, get the hell out of America. And then, by the way, Mr. Country leader over there that says you hate Americans and everybody should kill Americans, watch out. I give you 48 hours, people who live over there, to put him in jail, or a whole bunch of you are about to meet a fate. And that's what we have to do. You cannot run and be fearful and hide under the bed and be a magnificent country, a shining city on the hill. You just can't be. You have to have courage. You cannot be a coward.
Now, Obama has no courage. He has no guts. He's a gutless wonder.
Plus,
I mean,
he wants this
to talk
to
the American people. He's got to go on a late-night show and act like he's a comedian. He is a
yeah.
joke.
And he is a joke. Yes, he is. And by the way, just between you and I and the rest of the world that will agree with us, who will agree with us, he wants to destroy this country.
Oh, hell yeah.
He wants to have the actual demise, if you will, that was coming out of what he has learned from day one. You cannot ever discount the Cloward Piven strategy that he has studied all of his life. I mean, just read his books. Look at what is taking place on a daily basis. The only way to destroy a country is to destroy it from within.
Especially us.
Yeah, exactly.
We lead the world. If the U.S. goes down, small surprise, but the world goes down.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, though his objective is to destroy the United States, if it works, the whole world goes south.
Exactly.
And, you know, he hasn't got the guts to allow the Keystone Pipeline. It comes up against fracking oil and gas. We could be totally energy independent 5 to 10 years. We don't need the Mideast.
By the way,
got the guts to do it.
That's a million jobs overnight because fracking, oil, that's all very high-paid jobs. I came from that industry as a very young man. That is an absolute tie-dollar, six-digit a year income. It's not something to laugh at. Plus, like you said, we would be energy independent. We would not be dependent on the Muslim oil countries anymore, who are laughing all the way to the bank.
Well, look at North Dakota. Yeah, I mean, North Dakota has done that. They get like a 3% unemployment rate. That's compared to an actual rate down here of 15 to 21%.
Yeah, and there is not a minute goes by that I don't see that. Yes, he chose to go with the Al Gores of the world, because that plays right into what his agenda is, which is, come on, George Soros made his first $1 trillion on sinking the British pound. Do you not think he's got everything already planned out for the demise of America? Certainly, yes. That's why he has worked so many years and paid so much money to get this Acorn activist as our president, who voted present while he was in the Senate. You know, it's not anything that we're not going to be sorry for later. And if people like you and me, if we don't do everything in our power, we would be robbing our kids and our grandkids. I feel that way. I feel if we're not going to be, you know, there is a generation known as the greatest generation back there. What do you think we're going to be known as? We're going to be known as the entitlement group, the people who cheated their children. We can't do that. We simply can't allow that.
Yeah, the current generation is being considered the cupcake generation.
Yeah, but I mean our generation right now, we're gonna come out, and we're not going to. We didn't defend our country. We're just status quo. We're letting things happen, and God bless us. We elected a black person, and you know all of the things, all of that rhetoric, is destroying us. We can't use common sense.
No, we elected a Muslim.
Yeah, exactly.
I got no problem with a black person. We'll put Dr. Ben Carson up there. He can be a president.
You know,
got no problem with that.
And you know the worst feeling in my life is I have almost a 8 or 10 pages on Colin Powell, who I at one time thought was the most respected man in the world. And I called out in my book that it's a shame that somebody like that couldn't have been our first black president. And then all hell broke loose, and I no longer am confident about anyone of color who will say they're X when they turn out to be Y. He backed Obama, who had absolutely no record whatsoever, backed him only because he was black.
That's
now
the only
that crushed
that voted him. You can't have 98% of the blacks voting for one person. It just it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But he's black. That's all they needed.
But somebody like Colin Powell just destroyed the integrity portion of what I was thinking of such a great American, of such a strong, admirable human being. God, it was terrible. It was a crisis for me to realize that all of that was hidden agenda. He did what was going to make him famous and good and look nice and the eyes of the world, and especially whites here in America, and then simply backed Obama because he was black.
And that was
that
it.
That just crushed me. It just crushed me. I had so much admiration for that guy. It was incredible.
I agree. I thought he was pretty good, too, but I got over that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got to bow out, and until next week, we'll see you again, Mike. Thanks, God.
Thank you, David.
Dear President Obama, we, the people, have stated resolutely we reject your vision for our country. You claim you have not heard us. We, the people, have assembled across America resisting your efforts to subvert our Constitution and undermine our liberty. You claim you have not seen us. Since you have not acknowledged our message, let us here present it once more. For if, as President Wilson said, a leader's ear must ring with the voices of the people, the time has come. Our greatest treasure is